Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. The apostle here is giving some instruction to the Lord's people to in every age, but it seems like it has a special meaning to those who will be in the last of the last days. In verse 21, he says, "And having an high priest over the house of God." We have a way of access to God by that new and living way that our priest established, that is ours because of his sacrifice and work. We have him. He is our priest and represents us. He's made that throne of God a throne of power, a throne of holiness, but he's made it for us a throne of grace. So the apostle continues in verse 22, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And then in verse 25 he says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." I've called this tonight, "Why God's Elect Gather." His elect, of course, make up the church. And the word church itself means a called out assembly. So that we know that at least one characteristic of God's true church is that they assemble. And here they are spoken of as a separated people, a holy people, because that's the essence of what holy means when it applies to God. He's separate. He's holy. And likewise are his people a separate people. They've been separated by his divine election. They've been separated unto Christ and his death on their behalf. And they've been separated by the gospel. That's what Christ means when he says, in John 17, I believe it is, when he says, "Father, sanctify them through thy word." Set them apart. Identify them. And center them around your word, your gospel, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he talks about gathering together, assembling ourselves together, the word here is only used one other time in the Scriptures. It's not the word church. It's not the word synagogue, such as we find speaking of the Jews and the Jews' religion, but it's the word epi-synagogue, and it's found in one other place in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Listen to this. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. So the thought is that we are, especially in these last days, to be gathering together in the light of our being gathered together at His soon coming. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're a people that are called by God to gather together, separated from this world, separated by His grace, and we gather together. We are the church, which He calls His body. And we gather together, especially in the light of these last days and His soon coming, we gather together for a number of different reasons. First of all, we gather together because simply God commands it. He's the one that tells us to do so. We gather together, the Lord's people, because He says, He that is of God hears God's word. That is, they hear it to obey Him. And as was said over in the Old Testament concerning some sacrifices that Saul supposedly was holding, and when the prophet came to him, he said, I'm holding them because I just wanted to use them for sacrifices. But there's just the one thing. God had commanded him and those people to kill everything in their conquest. And so the prophet came and he said, what is this I hear? The lowing of the cattle and the bleating of the sheep? Oh, the king said, I've done it so I could do something for the Lord. I've done it so I can sacrifice them unto the Lord. But this is what the prophet said. He said, to obey is better than to sacrifice. We assemble and we gather together because God commands it. And no matter, as those who spoke in Matthew 7, it doesn't matter whether we've done many great and wonderful works, if we've not done and do what God commands, first to believe on His Son. And every other thing that He commands, never with perfect obedience, but our desire and our goal is that we are to obey what He says. And He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. We gather because God commands it. We gather in submission to His command. And not only that, we gather to publicly identify. Here are these people over here that gather on Sunday and Wednesday, and these over here that gather on Wednesday and Sunday. But the truth is, they're all gathering, and if you listen to them, they will all agree together. They're all gathering to a God who is generic and one like every other one has. But God's people, Because the gospel identifies God as He is. As He is so unpleasant to natural man. And we gather together around the gospel to publicly identify with the true God, and we worship Him alone. We set aside a time and we recognize His sovereignty over us, and we publicly confess that this is the God we worship and believe. Let them look at us. Let them call us fools. Let them say things like, our God or my God isn't like that. Let them identify with every false god that they wish. But God's people gather around the true and the living God. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. We have no confidence in the flesh. We worship Him according to how He reveals Himself to be in His Word. And then we gather together also to enjoy the special presence of God on earth in our midst. Sometimes I think we forget what He has promised us. And that is what He says in Matthew 18 and verse 20 when He says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That doesn't mean that wherever some people gather and call on Jesus or say that He's in the midst and any of these things, that doesn't mean that He is. But what this verse is saying is where two or three are gathered, having been gathered, and we know that the great gatherer of the church is the Spirit of God. Gather them around Christ, around the gospel, around the word of truth, where two or three shall, having been gathered, there, He says, I'll be in the midst also. And He promises His presence. He promises His identifying presence wherever those are gathered by the Spirit around the truth of Christ Jesus. He says, I will be in the midst. And Paul, speaking in 1 Corinthians 5, says it something like this in reference to that. And he says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're gathered together by Christ. We're gathered together for Christ. And we're gathered together with the promise that He will be in the midst. And I know how flesh is. We'll gather together and look around to see if so-and-so is here. I wonder where so-and-so is. But our great concern ought to be and wonder if Christ is in our midst. It doesn't matter who else is in our midst if He's in our midst. Doesn't matter if it's only two or three, as He says, not making a great number, but almost the smallest of number. He says, I will be in the midst. The Lord of glory in our midst. The Savior, of our souls in our midst. He promises to be in the midst, and we gather to enjoy His special presence. And then we gather to hear the gospel. I thought about that this morning very early. We gather to hear what the Bible says is good news and glad tidings. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't ever get tired of hearing good news. Some old preacher, I forget who it was, he said this. He said, the gospel is good news, but I know of no other good news in the world. Because what we consider good news sometimes quickly can become bad news. And what we think is good news might be the worst news for us. But we can come and gather to hear the gospel and hear good news. The gospel is only good news to the Lord's people. That's why He says in Isaiah, comfort ye, my people. That's why the psalmist says, your words were comfort, my comfort in my afflictions. We gather together and we're tired sometimes, and we're heartbroken sometimes, and we're worried and concerned about all the bad news that we hear in our life. But what is the one thing that actually is always good news? And I like to think about it like this. When we hear the preaching of the cross, when we hear about what Christ crucified has meant to us, what He has done for us, what He has already accomplished for us, that we shall be saved from wrath through Him, we're reminded again and again that the worst, no matter how bad things get, the worst is already behind us. Lord, remind me of that every time. Remind me of no matter what kind of problems I have or face or meet in this life, the sin problem, the eternal problem, the soul problem, the problem with God and me as a sinner, that is all put behind me. And all I can hear is, like Brother Scott Richardson used to say, since I heard the good news, there hadn't been any really bad news. We gather to hear the gospel. We gather to be reminded of the greatness of God, the power of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the Son of God, the work of God. And that helps His people tremendously. We gather to be taught. We gather to learn and to receive needed instruction. We gather to be rebuked if necessary. We gather for exhortation from His Word. We gather for correction from His Word. One of the qualifications of God's preacher and God's servant is this, that he must be apt to teach. And all of these people which are called by his name, all this assembly, all the church, all the elect, every one of them, it says, shall be taught of God. That's what a disciple is. A disciple is one who is under the discipline or the teaching of the teacher. That's what true doctrine is. It's the teaching of God. And we gather so that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus the Lord. In the Old Testament, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So in all of our temptations, in all of our trials, and in all of the persecutions, we can be so quickly to manifest our ignorance of the Word of God. We're not to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. How do you avoid that? By being taught of God. By being under instruction. Instruction in righteousness. And then we're gathered together to encourage one another in the faith. You see, the Bible likens us to soldiers. And what soldier is there in the natural realm that in the face of the battle, when he sees what it seems like the enemy gaining the upper hand, what soldier is there that doesn't get discouraged? We're to encourage those who are likewise persecuted. We're to, the Bible says, share one another's burdens. We're to also share one another's joys. We're a little more quick to share one another's burdens, and by that I mean share with each other the burdens. But we gather also to share with each other the joys. We gather together to give thanks to God for what He's done for us. When we tell one another how the Lord has helped us or healed us or blessed us or done something wonderful for us and we praise Him for it, that does something for the Lord's people. We gather to see one another and be reminded that we're not alone. We're to remind one another the presence of like believers, people of like precious faith. Remind us that there is yet a remnant according to the election of grace. There are others that believe the truth. And we gather together to have fellowship. And the fellowship of Scripture is so much different from what the world calls fellowship. People gather together to have fun. They call it fellowship. They gather together as a social organization or a benevolent organization or whatever it is, they gather together, usually around food, and call it fellowship. That's not Bible fellowship. We gather to fellowship around one fellow, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We may have all different kind of differences, backgrounds. We're different sexes. We're different ages. We're different interests, we're different hobbies, we're different tastes, but we have one thing in common, and that's Christ. That's to talk about his glorious person and fabulously successful work. And we gather to pray and to seek the Lord as a body. We gather to join together as one people, praying for one goal, praying for one thing. We come together and we pray for these things that the Lord would have us to pray for, and to publicly thank God for His mercy and grace and blessings. We gather to bring our needs and our cares and our sorrows before Him. And the Lord blesses through each other, through our concern, through our prayers. Brother Richard, nobody will know what your prayer is. For my son, meant to me. We gather that we might bear a public witness to our commitment to Christ. People drive by this building, they say, that's old so-and-so's car out there again. He's right back there again. You don't know how much that goes on. And on the one hand, men say, we don't care what these people are doing. But they can't keep their eyes off. Oftentimes the Lord turns their head to look, to read the sign. What is sovereign grace? That little old group, how do they even keep the lights on in that place? We're a mystery. And we gather to provide a place and an assembly where others might hear the gospel. I'd like to see every one of those pews full of people to hear the truth. Not because I'm the preacher. If the Lord wants to take me on and put somebody else here, that's fine with me. But He's established a witness for the truth in this place. And I'd love to see every pew full, people that had interested and hearing ears to hear the truth of Christ. We gather that we might preach the gospel, that we might provide the gospel, that we might worship, that they might find out what we believe. And we gather to support and to encourage those that study and prepare and stand before us to preach the gospel. I wonder how many people have said over the life of this church, I didn't go because I was just too tired, I didn't feel good, and I don't think I'd have gotten anything out of it. Well, let me tell you something. It ain't all about you. It's about encouraging your brethren with your presence, with your words. And it's about encouraging the one that preaches the gospel to you. I don't know how many times in my preaching experience the devil has suggested to me that there won't be anybody there to hear you tonight. And then the Lord calls to my mind this one and that one and this one, and He says, These will. They'll be there to hear you. But if they're not, you're preaching first for me. The gospel goes up as a sweet savor to God. He likes to hear about His Son. He likes to hear about His finished work. It gives Him glory. I know there are many who are truly providentially hindered. Some are sick. They're shut in. They're not able to gather. But they make use of every opportunity they can. That's why we have so many hearers on the internet. That's why I get so many notes from people who are in situations that they just cannot get out of. That they're in situations where there is no gospel preacher. People who are in England who are isolated invalids, but they use the means that they can to gather as close as they can with the people of God and hear the gospel. And the thing about this text is, the apostle is speaking about how important this assembling together is in the light of Christ's soon coming. We're to assemble as if He was coming tonight, tomorrow. When you read about Lot and Sodom, and you see the state that things had degraded to in that place, and how that the wickedness of that city was so bad that when the angels, when the two angels came to Lot's house, the homosexuals were so blatant that they sought to have Lot hand them over to them to use them. And we're not far from that now. But what did God do? He brought judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed those individuals with a never-ending destruction But there was a righteous man there. Righteous Lot. Vexed his righteous soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And I honestly believe a great part of that filthy conversation was the idolatry and the religions that characterized those places and produced that kind of conduct. Because it always is a result of rejected light. But he delivered Lot out, like he'll deliver his people out. But it just seems like to me that that's a picture of how it is in the end. That's why God's elect gather. They gather because of so many things. So many needs, so many commands, so many purposes. And that's why he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but even the more, as you see the day approaching. Our Father, we ask, in the name of Christ, that you would help us. Give us grace, strength. Teach us your word. Lead us by your Spirit. Encourage our hearts. And do all for your glory. Accomplish your purpose. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For we ask it in Christ's name. We thank you in His name. And we pray that you would get all the glory. Amen.